It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple WatchOS 11.2 is releasing soon, and what to expect. Apple is investigating cellular Macs and using Amazon chips to pre-train Apple intelligence. And UPS driver is fired for stealing an Apple Watch. Plus reviews of calculator and calendar apps, new features, and GoVee yard spotlights and smart net lights. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, Tom. As we were talking before the show, the next time we do a show, the days will be getting longer here in the United States.
Finally.
Yes.
Just a quick note. Vincent is a little under the weather, as they say. Couldn't be here today. Hope he feels better soon. So just the two of us. You know, at the top of the show, I always say most personal and healthy device yet. It's been 10 years. Maybe I can get rid of the yet. I don't know there's anything coming, is there?
Fair point.
Unless they do a ring. Maybe they do a ring, but I don't know about that.
I wear one ring and that's about enough for me. You know, I don't know if I need a second ring.
Right. I mean, the only reason would be, I guess, if people don't like to wear their watch at night, you could at least get some data, right?
Fair.
Wear the ring. But yeah, I mean, what else would they do? There's nothing else that would be, they've got the Vision Pro, but that's kind of not really worked.
Can't wear that at night to bed, I don't think.
I heard they've only sold like less than 500,000 of those things.
Yeah, I think I saw the same thing, which is disappointing, because when did it come out? Just February or January of this year?
Yeah. It's been almost a whole year, and that's a low number for Apple for an expense. In fact, I also heard they were talking to Sony about teaming up with some game thing, trying to open up the gaming on it, because that has been pretty much nothing.
Well, you've seen the only TV commercials I see are during live sporting events, but the Meta headset, right? It's like $299 bucks.
Right.
So I don't know the capability compared to the Vision Pro, but $300 bucks versus $3,300 bucks has got to be enough there that maybe $300 bucks isn't so bad.
And I know it's a completely different experience, right?
It is.
Between the two, it's hard to really compare them that way. But I think even with that device, I think even they're finding out that even the people who buy them don't use them all that much after a while. So to me, that's kind of a failure of the category, not of the device, that the whole concept and idea of it just isn't quite there yet. I don't know.
Well, since I converted over from PC to Mac at my job back in July. So, I mean, the reason I didn't buy one is like I would rarely use it, but I could use it now because I'm using Apple devices again for work. So, but again, when I sit here all day with it on my face, not sure about that. And then, you know, you do so many discussions on Teams I would look kind of odd with being the only one with Vision Pro on my face.
Right. I mean, there's a number of use cases for it that it does really well, but probably not compared to the price. I mean, watching TV on it, watching films or whatever is amazing on a plane. It's probably awesome. And making it a giant monitor for your work would also be nice. But again, those are things that I don't know. To tell you how bad it is, as you know, I haven't even gone in to look at the thing.
Yeah, right. I think didn't he do it?
I don't think he did either.
So I'm the only one that did it, huh?
Maybe he did. Maybe he stopped by at one point.
I think he might have. I thought he and I had done the demo and you had not.
Yeah, I keep meaning to go by. I just hadn't had time. And after a while, after it goes on too long, you're like, okay.
Well, every time I go pick up something at the Apple Store where I live, the Vision Pro demo desk is right next to it. It's non-scientific Chris data, it's easily 75% of the time when I walk in and to pick up a online order, someone's there getting a demo. So
Right,
they're still
right.
demoing it.
Yeah, but I have a feeling it's kind of those step right up, take a look into the future kind of
Yeah,
things, you know?
drag you mean dragging
Not,
people over?
yeah, not that you're, no, but I mean, just people are doing it because they want to see
Yeah,
what
fair.
it's like, not because they're there to buy one.
That's right. Yeah.
But anyway, we that's our Apple Vision Pro for the
Thank you
week.
very much.
All right, what we you know we kind of stalling, but there's not that much news this week. Really, it's kind of light as we approach the end of the year. So let's talk about up first here. Look at a couple of watch actual couple of watch stories.
Yeah, kidding. No kidding.
First up, yeah, is watchOS 11.2, which I think, and we'll talk about it in a story coming right up here in a second, but from that story, I do believe it's coming out tomorrow, which would be Monday, the 9th, is the rumor for 11.2 for the watchOS to drop. But one new feature lets you pause iPhone video with the camera remote app. Pretty cool, because we've been able to use the watch to control the camera on your iPhone pretty much since the beginning. But it's never had that feature of pause. So recently, I believe it was iOS 18, Apple added the feature for pausing video recordings with the iPhone camera app, but was not on the watch. Well, now they've given that feature to the watch. So that's going to be kind of cool to see.
It
Other new
is.
things
It
with
is.
11.2, expanded support for tidal conditions and coastal locations in the Tides app in China. Okay. All right. That's, they said that sounded like something we already had, but, yeah, so now here, oh, I'm sorry, is this article? They're saying it will release hopefully Monday. So we'll see. By the time you listen to this, may already be out,
You'll have it.
right? Yeah, you may have it by then. So that's pretty cool. And let's talk about real quick what we can expect to see in that particular release. Trying to find the story here. Kind of getting lost in everything else going on. Oops, there it is. Okay. Nope, that's not it.
Well, it wasn't a whole lot, so it's from what I could tell, but
Yeah. Okay. Here it is. Apple released the what they call release candidates, which is RC, which is the last version of the betas before they release the final, right? And they did issue those for iOS 18.2, iPadOS 18.2, macOS Sequoia 15.2, and watchOS 11.2, visionOS 2.2, and tvOS 18.2. All right. So when they do that, usually the actual public release of the full thing is right around the corner. So more than likely, it will be Monday, if not Tuesday of this week, coming up. So that's good.
That's great. Yeah.
Yep. Now, a couple other things I've heard are in 11.2 is sleep apnea will be expanded to more countries. So that's always a good thing. I didn't know that feature was just like with us or in the US.
Yeah, I guess I know we talked about it a month or so ago, and I don't remember specifically
Yeah.
talking about the
Interesting.
demographic of where it was, so it is.
Also, improvements to fitness and the awards. And we mentioned that already a little bit, that if you close your exercise, move, and stand ring every day, you will now receive an award for completing them for 100, 365, 500, and 1,000 days. After 1,000 days, you receive the award every 250 days. And they are retroactive.
Yeah, we're going to have to
So that's
compare,
coming.
Tom. We'll compare and see what awards we have retroactively and see who won.
Oh, yeah. See, also, there are new seven new fitness shortcuts in watchOS 11.2. So you can add the those additions in the shortcuts app on your watch. So that's coming up. And then just, I guess, overall improved experience, right? Battery life, bug fixes, all that good stuff that we normally get under the hood, as they say. So all that's coming in watchOS 11.2.
Excellent. I mean, not a lot, but some good things.
Yep. No. Not for the watch. There's a lot more for iOS. That brings a few more Apple Intelligence features to the phone coming up. So that is one thing to look forward to. So what else is going on here with the watch? Tesla. Tesla, after years, has finally succumbed to all of the pressure from customers requesting an Apple Watch app. And it is finally here. Apparently it was just released. So we'll allow the users to unlock and control their vehicle using a dedicated app for the very first time. They can, use it as a digital key, providing functions that you could only get with the app on the phone, I guess, before. So what, unlock and lock the vehicle, open the trunk and the frunk, check the battery status and adjust climate control settings. You can kind of do that right now with your Ford, right?
I can. I can start it. I should say you can precondition it. You can start it, lock and unlock. Yeah, all the basic stuff.
Right. And that's what I guess this brings to them. There's no timeline or word about a similar Wear OS version of that. So,
That's good to have finally. Although the Apple Watch does not unlock the Ford itself, the phone does. The phone is the key, is still the trigger. The watch won't unlock it. So, is this Tesla app actually unlock the car?
Yeah,
that's what I thought it said. Yeah, so that's something better. That's good.
Now, one thing that Tesla owners have also been clamoring for that will probably never happen is CarPlay. So at least they get the watch app.
That's right.
CarPlay. Yeah.
Probably not.
Unfortunately. Yeah. What else is going on? I think we're almost done with the news.
I know.
I was kind of sad to see this. Okay. Apparently there's the HomePod with display. That I've been looking forward to. Well, this is from our friend, analyst Ming-Chi Kuo, says that the HomePod with display now won't launch until the third quarter of next year. Initially, he said it would be launched the first half of this year. Then it got pushed to the back to the first half of 2025, and now that's been pushed even further. So he says the reason for the delay is software development is taking longer than expected.
It did say in the story that this is like the third different time that they've picked a timing of this, and they haven't been right on the first two. So maybe they're not really sure what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. This is
That's a big delay, though.
If he says it's a software problem, yeah, but it sounds like the hardware's done.
It does, right? Yeah.
Because they were talking about a prototype and everything. So if that's the case, then, yeah, it's all software to getting it all to work the way they want it to work, apparently.
Yeah, maybe maybe the Apple Intelligence or something isn't working out or something. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be that. It could be the way they want. It's just not doing what they want it to, or as smoothly as they want it to. So yeah, I'm kind of bummed because I was looking forward to getting one of these in the kitchen, and now I wonder if I should just go ahead and get a HomePod. But I'm kind of hesitant because, as he mentions, Apple, this is a part of Apple's repositioning of the HomePod as less of a speaker and more as a smart home control center.
Well,
so I hate to get a new HomePod and then.
Well, would you have a place to use it if you needed another one? I mean, if you bought a HomePod to use in your kitchen, then this came out, you could repurpose the HomePod.
That's true. I could use it somewhere else. But yeah, I was just hoping. It was like, you know, because he mentioned earlier it was this year. Mm-hmm. And I waited. And then he said early next year. It's like, okay, I can wait. Mm-hmm. And now we're pushing it out to the end of next year. It's like, dang it. All
right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I just think they don't have a lot of good intelligence on this one.
Maybe not. Maybe it's not, or things have ramped up or changed with intelligence, which may have set them back on the software. Who knows?
Right, right.
Anyway, if you're looking forward to one of those, you're going to have to wait like me. Speaking of Apple intelligence, I thought this was a little surprising. Apple is using Amazon chips for AI to pre-train Apple intelligence. That's interesting. Apple's senior director of machine learning and artificial intelligence, Benoit Dupin.
Yeah, something like that. Yes.
Anyway, he made a surprise appearance at Amazon's Invent conference in Vegas, and he explained that Apple uses custom artificial intelligence chips from Amazon Web Services for many of its cloud services. And that mm-hmm. Apple is evaluating using Amazon's newest AI chip to pre-train its Apple intelligence models. He says currently Apple has used their chips like the Graviton and the Inferentia, these interesting names, for over a decade to help power Siri and search the app store, Apple Music, Apple Maps, all that kind of stuff. And they did this, they got a 40% gain in efficiency compared to the Intel and AMD chips by comparison. Dupin has confirmed that Apple is evaluating the latest AWS AI training chip dubbed, you ready for this? The Trainium 2. I love these names. A training chip. It's called the Trainium. Oh, my gosh. During his appearance, he said that he expects Apple to get up to 50% improvement in efficiency with pre-training with the Trainium 2 chip.
Mm-hmm.
But that the actual Apple intelligence would run on Apple's own silicon,
mm-hmm.
their own chips. So my question is, why do they need to train on a different chip than Apple Silicon?
I thought that too. I wasn't sure. I did not do any research, but NVIDIA and the guys that build the AI chips, there must be some difference to it, Tom, related to just a pure silicon chip, meaning must be more powerful, or it can process data faster, or it doesn't, you know, create as much heat while it's working. I'm not sure. But I think there is a difference between an AI chip and a processing chip.
But the chips that they're training, the Trainium 2 is an AI chip, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then Apple's going to use its own silicon chips to run the that should be the same. I don't know. It makes no sense to me.
Vincent would know.
He would. Let's call him. No.
Phone a friend.
He can't phone a friend. Maybe he can answer that if we remember this next time. But
I will.
I'm sure there's a reason they're doing it, but I was surprised they're not using NVIDIA.
Yes, same. Maybe it's a cost thing, or maybe it would be a competitive thing, probably a cost thing or an availability thing.
Or a relationship thing, since they've already been using them.
Yeah, fair, Amazon. Fair, yeah.
But anyway, a little surprising.
Yeah, same here. When I read that, I was surprised.
So let's see what else is going on. We already talked about that. Getting near the end here. Really getting near the end. I'm sorry. This is so funny. There's only like a handful of stories. This next one I put on here just because it was so interesting to me. And then as to how this all would work, but apparently this is from Mark Gurman at Bloomberg. He says Apple is considering bringing cellular connectivity to the Mac lineup for the first time. They're investigating the possibility of adding a modem chip to a future Mac, but a cellular Mac isn't likely to launch until 2026 or later. Mm-hmm. Now, currently, Apple's been doing this for a long time, trying to make their own modem chip, mm-hmm. right? That's been since the Steve Jobs time that they've tried to make since back in 2008, mm-hmm. they considered making a modem chip and putting it actually in the MacBook Air.
Right, right.
But Steve Jobs decided not to because the chip would take up too much room in the case and would lock customers to a specific carrier. However, chip technology has come a long way since then. Currently, Apple's modem chip that they've been working on for quite a while is a custom-built 5G chip that will be added to the iPhone SE, the low-cost iPad, the iPhone 17 Air, using those to test the chip before rolling it out to their flagship devices. Mm-hmm. Gurman says from there, Apple's chip will expand to other iPhones and iPads over a 3-year period. And it may also come to the Mac. A Mac with a 5G chip would be able to connect to a cellular network just like a 5G-enabled iPhone or iPad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Wi-Fi or a cellular hotspot would not be required. Now,
hallelujah.
They say the first, yeah, exactly. Now, the first chip will be limited to a sub 6 gigahertz 5G. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the second generation will support faster wave technology. So they're aiming to outcompete Qualcomm with the third generation of this chip, offering better performance and AI features. Ultimately, Apple wants to phase out Qualcomm modem chips completely, replacing them with their own designed chips. I think that's the way they're going to go. And you know, to the point of what Steve Jobs had said back in 2008, the reason they're doing this is they can put that modem chip on the system in package, right? The entire mm-hmm, mm-hmm. one chip to rule them all, right? Literally, it would be one chip on that machine that would have everything in it.
Yeah.
That's their goal, right?
Yeah. So it would have the modem chip. It would have the AI inference chip, and it would have the, what else? Is there a third piece of the chip it would have? I feel like I'm missing something.
The graphics?
Yeah, the graphics, okay. Just the processing.
The processing,
yeah.
The memory, all of it.
Yeah.
Would all be in one single chip. GPS, all of that stuff. If they can put it all in one chip, it becomes more efficient and takes up very little space.
What an amazing piece of technology that would be.
Oh, my God. But you know that's where they're going, right?
Well, sure, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think their work on the Apple Watch has taught them how to miniaturize things to such a degree, right, we're now seeing the benefits hopefully coming to other things. Now, okay, I understand a laptop having a cellular connection, but what about a desktop?
Well, if the chip is cheap and it works well, why not, right? If it doesn't, because, you know, desktops can be kind of, you know, on the, well, not Apple's, but why not? I mean, it always gives you that other option to connect.
Right. And in fact, I kind of had something happen Saturday. We had our internet fiber mm-hmm. went down, had an outage for most of the day. It was very frustrating. And then I read this story and I'm like, you know what? If I had a Mac with a cellular connection, I would have never even hardly noticed.
That's fair.
I'd just keep working. Just keep working, right?
Yeah, right. But how would it work? Would you need another plan, or would it be like an Apple Watch, right? We have to have another $15 a month plan or not, right?
Probably.
That would be an option, right? That you have to think about that for how many times you use it. Now, if you travel for a living for your job, it might be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. But just as a backup, if you never want to be without mm-hmm. internet connection mm-hmm. and you happen to be in an area where your service goes out on a regular basis, which does happen for certain carriers of the internet, for whatever reason, that would be kind of cool. Now, I've had this fiber network here through Frontier for going on 3-4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
First few years, it only went out like once, maybe twice for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's gone out like, I don't know, a couple times a month.
No kidding.
And I think what's happening is, and I may have mentioned this before, there's another competing fiber company coming into the area, and they're putting in their lines, and I think they're cutting the other lines. Yeah, they're cutting the Frontier lines to put theirs in either by accident, but I wouldn't put it past them to be somewhat on purpose too.
Yeah, well,
because if you get frustrated enough with outages, you'll jump carriers.
Yeah, that second one would be kind of dicey, but I wouldn't put it past some people to do that.
Or it's just negligence. It's just they're hiring people, don't know what the heck they're doing. They're just digging mm-hmm. without looking or getting things flagged first, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if you're in an area where you have a lot of outages, this would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when we have an outage, I disconnect to my phone, correct? Right? Because it's got cellular and you're back online. But I think, you know, having it in a Mac would be a strong differentiator.
Now, let me add fuel to the conspiracy theory fire here. Frontier offers a backup system if there's an outage in your connection that is a new modem that you get from them that has cellular built into it for an extra $25 a month.
Ah, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. So for $300 a year, you can get a modem that has cellular that's backup for the 2 times a month it goes out for half hour-ish? How long does it go out?
It was out from 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah, they want you to buy that $25 a month modem, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what's that called? A protection racket, right?
There you go. I think
it'd be a shame. It'd be a real shame if something happened to your internet connection.
That's right. That's right.
But hey, you pay us a little more, and you won't have that problem.
That's right. You've got 100% connectivity if you just do this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I don't know. What's really sad is I just convinced a neighbor to switch to the. Fiber prior to all these outages, because it was so reliable. And so, you know, they did. And now I just feel bad every time it goes out. I'm like, they're probably cussing me every time it goes out. But
why haven't we had cellular chips in PCs, though, or you know, laptops?
I think they do in the PC side. I think you can get that.
Can you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And I would imagine, I'm trying to remember, maybe that was just Wi-Fi. There used to be a thing you would plug into the side of the old PC laptops that would give you a connection. Yeah.
Like a dongle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's an extra device, though. But
right.
You know.
But today, all you do is hotspot your phone.
That's true. Yeah.
But there's a lot of limits on that.
There are, and there's a cost to it, I think. Well, I'm not sure. Most plans now kind of include that, I think.
But I don't think I could hotspot my phone for 8 hours a day, you know, without getting charged more, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyway. All right. Moving on. Last story.
Go ahead. Hey, I did a quick multitasking while we were talking. And yes, a training chip, Tom, is a computational powerhouse. So the training does a lot more computation and alignment of data for complex tasks, where the processing chip, the inference chip, just kind of does the calculation and the AI work, right? So there is a difference. That's why.
Okay. So it is a properly named chip.
Yes.
Trainium 2.
Yes. Okay. Definitely. Now, there's probably people out there that knew that already, and we didn't know that. But
had no idea.
Yeah. I learned something reading that mm-hmm. article.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Try to do that every time. You learn
That's right.
something.
That's right.
Even if you don't want to, we're gonna force you to. Okay, last story: a UPS driver was caught on video stealing an Apple Watch.
Mm.
A UPS employee was fired after being seen on home surveillance video stealing an Apple Watch that was intended as a gift. This occurred in Gramercy Park neighborhood in Los Angeles, and a camera caught him with the UPS truck pulled up across the street. Delivery guy gets out, goes to the front gate carrying a small package. Instead of dropping the package on the porch, he looked back to look at his partner in the truck. He walks to the side, removes the watch from his packaging, and throws the empty package in a neighbor's garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
He then circled back to the UPS truck, and they drove away. Well, the guy, it was supposed to be a gift for his wife. He checked the status of the order. It said delivered. And it wasn't there, so he looked on the camera, and he saw what happened.
Yes.
And they're saying, UPS, that the temporary seasonal hire has been terminated. This incident does not reflect our values. We have no tolerance for theft. UPS employees are trained to perform their jobs with integrity and professionalism, and we are committed to providing reliable and secure delivery to customers. So that was pretty brazen, though. If you watched the video, I'll put a link in the show notes to it. It's pretty brazen.
It is. And you can't do anything today. You're going to be on camera. Something is going to come up.
Yeah.
They're going to find you. It's just, you got to think. You got to think through it. You really do.
Every neighborhood, every house could have five cameras pointing at you today, right?
There's no doubt.
From the doorbell to security cameras to, it's just,
Well,
anyway, stupid thief of the day for Apple Watch.
I think years ago, four or five, I had a AirPods box show up empty. And you could tell, as soon as I picked them up, like, there's nothing in here. So I don't know what happened to it. And actually, I called and got a new replacement. But I didn't see any damage on the box. I didn't, if it was stolen, they did a great job. But it was empty. I picked it up. And like, there's nothing in this box. Something happened to it. And it was odd.
But we've seen instances of people who receive a different item in the box than the one that they. Yeah. Or some rocks. I think there was one that was a bunch of rocks.
That's right. Just weighed the right amount of weight. Remember, we've talked about that years ago. We had stories about that.
Yeah. There's all kinds of – you could probably do a whole podcast about shipping mishaps.
I would guess.
Didn't we talk about some guy who got like 100 iPhones delivered to him by mistake?
Yeah, right.
He ordered 10. He got 100 or something.
Yeah. That's true. That was about a year ago, that story.
Yeah.
I can't remember what he did. Right. Did he send them back? I can't remember what he did.
Oh, yeah. But he obviously did a video first.
That's right.
But yeah, he contacted him and sent them back. So they were going to find out eventually, I think.
Oh, certainly.
With that many, if he had just received like one extra, maybe not. But 100, yeah.
As soon as he sold those and ramped them up or something, I mean, someone would have found them anyway. So he probably did the right thing.
Yep. All right, we'll get to what we like here in just a minute, but first a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. So check out our page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. You can subscribe there, become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this show possible. And I want to give a shout out and thank you to Stephen Kimbrough for becoming a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Thank you, Stephen. We really do appreciate your support.
All right, Stephen. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. What do you like this week, Chris?
Well, Tom, I just have some general input. Well, I guess it's not. It's specific input on three or four apps that I've really enjoy since the recent updates to the app. So the first one is the calculator app on the phone. I love that you can see your entire calculation at the top, because sometimes you just want to do a quick multiply three numbers and you're like, did I hit the multiply sign on that one? I can't remember. But now you can see everything. So your error level goes way down. And it also has a currency conversion function. If you just go into the bottom of the lower left part of the app, you'll see the calculator and has a convert, so you can convert currency. Very nice. And then it has something called a math note, which is now the feature in Notes app where it actually does math for you. So you can just type in certain quick numbers and it'll do the math for you. And it can get pretty complex, by the way. So I've really been using the calculator app a lot. So I like that one. This one, I'm not sure I like or not. You can tell me, the calendar integrated with the reminder. What do you think of that?
I haven't really used it.
Okay.
I guess that tells you something about it.
Well, I use both apps, you know, a lot, all the time, every day. And the calendar app can get kind of wonky with all your reminders showing up. So I kind of like it because I can see it in one place. I kind of don't like it because it's kind of busy. But when you have all your reminders, let's say you have four or five reminders at the same time, you know, you can just press and hold and it'll show you all the reminders. You can edit, add, do everything you want to do right in your calendar for your reminders. So that's kind of cool. It's just kind of busy. But I think the fact that I can integrate it and do it all in one place kind of trumps the fact that it's busy. So I like it, mm-hmm. I think. Okay. Apple Intelligence, I don't know. Have you been using it at all to rewrite your texts?
A little bit, just a bit.
Okay. I use the Concise a lot.
Okay.
And then also the Friendly and then the Professional. So I think I use the Concise first because I'll talk and then I'm like, nope, too long. I use the Friendly just to see what it does. And then the Professional one is really nice, you know, when you're sending it to like your boss or something. But I like that. And then lastly, Siri on CarPlay. So it does the same thing on your CarPlay it does on your phone, which is kind of neat. You know, the screen lights up versus, you know, the little round things at the bottom of the screen. So the first time I did.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Because I use it a lot on CarPlay all the time. And I was like, oh, that's pretty neat. So anyway, that's just a cornucopia of little apps that I've liked and liked those changes.
Nice. I think you're going to have some more coming up with 18.2.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yep. All right. What I like this week is, surprise, it's another smart home device. As listeners of this show know, I've had quite a year of smart home upgrades for me, and I have a couple more today. As is tradition at our home, the day after Thanksgiving is always decorate the house inside and out for Christmas. I do the outside, and in the past, let's just say we have the brightest house on the street, if not the neighborhood.
Oh.
I used to get a little carried away, kind of close to what the Griswold house would look like from Christmas Vacation.
No.
Some years. It would rival it. It would get close, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It was pretty bright. I mean, I did everything. I did all the eaves, headlights, all the windows, all the bushes, all the trees, the yard, everything. And you know, you keep adding, right? Every year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, as I got older, I've stopped doing the eaves. They're way too high. It's a two-story mm-hmm. house. Mm-hmm. I never liked doing them that much anyway, a little afraid of heights. So that was always a little tricky, to get up there and do them. Of course, mm-hmm. now they have permanent lights and stuff. That'd be pretty cool. But, but I still do most of the rest. Anything down on the ground I can reach, I'll do. Or some of the windows with a small ladder, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So like everything else I do, I try to get the most out of the lights each year, but they're not really made to last more than a year or two before they stop working. Mm. I know some people I've heard who buy Christmas lights, they use them and then they toss them.
Mm-hmm.
And they buy new ones next year. You know, they don't want to go through the hassle of trying to fix the lights, right?
Right, right.
So anyway, eventually they all stop working. So anyway, a number of years back, I tried some of the first LED lights when they came out. Those were pretty good, but they're very expensive. So I never really replaced everything with them. I still mm-hmm. have the regular bulbs. And they look different, so there wasn't, you know, you couldn't just toss them in the middle of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now prices have gone down, and they've even gotten smart. So I purchased my first smart Christmas net light from a company called Govee. I don't know if you've heard of them, Govee. They have gone all in on outdoor and indoor lighting. They have an amazing number of different types of lights, not just for the holidays, but landscaping lights as well. They've got everything. So I got one net light. It's 4 feet tall by 9 feet long. So it's a nice big net light for your bushes, right? the lights are actually in the wire grid itself. So the wire grid is not a round, thin wire. It's a flat ribbon type thing. And the light is inside of that, right? It protrudes a little bit. So there's nothing to get tangled on or caught up, right? There's not a bulb sticking out. So anyway, you install them like normal lights, drape them over a bush, or in my case, it's across the gate on our driveway. And it comes with twist ties, zip ties, and stakes to make the installation easier, but also to make sure that you get the light as straight as possible, because it's not just lights. It's like a very low resolution screen. You can animate scenes on this net light with a tap of a button on the app.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yeah. It turns on and off each individual light, you know, to a different color in a certain order to animate the scene. It's a very cool effect. So like I chose like the Christmas bells, and I got three big gold bells with ribbon on the top that swing back and forth.
You know? Oh my gosh. I mean, it's
really cool. And also, these are some of the brightest LEDs I've ever seen. They are super bright. And you can adjust that, obviously. But there's a lot of pre-done scenes to choose from, you know, including all the different holidays and more. I mean, you can cycle through all of them. What I did was I picked the like my top eight that I liked for the Christmas holidays, and I put them in a thing where it will rotate through them. And you said how long you want each one to be on. So every time you look at our house, it's going to have a different animated scene, which is kind of
cool. Oh, nice. Very nice.
Yeah. But that's not enough. They take it one step further. You can create your own scenes and share them with other users. Does that sound familiar? It's like sharing Apple Watch faces.
It does.
Yeah. So speaking of, they do have an Apple Watch app as well. Now, it's not the best app. It takes a bit of trying to get it to connect the first time. It's one of those things where it tells you to open up the app on the phone, you know, before it'll connect, and then it does or it doesn't. You have to restart them each. You know, it is a little fidgety to get it to finally show up. And the other thing I noticed is you have to be within Bluetooth range to control the lights, which is strange because they're Wi-Fi connected, but it's using Bluetooth to control them. So anyway, the watch app lets you turn them on and off, change colors, but that's about it. That's about all you can do with the app. So it's nice to have. I wish it did more. Now, the other item I want to review real quick is Govee's landscaping spotlights. Okay, so I've had spotlights on the front of the house for as long as we've owned the house, for 30 years. And I can't tell you how many of these things I've gone through. The weather here just destroys anything that's outside year-round. And those landscaping lights do not last. I was constantly replacing bulbs or the glass or the unit itself or anyway, or the transformer, the thing that, you know, programs it. Well, of the eight lights I had out there, I was down to one working.
Oh, no.
So I decided to go ahead and make them smart this time, okay? So I got the Govee spotlights, and they look very similar to normal spotlights, but they don't require that large transformer controller plugged in the wall somewhere, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
It's just a normal block brick plug with an inline power button. And there's four lights per unit, and you get a pretty good amount of wire in between so you can space them out to fit your needs. So what I love is that the connector for each light, it's not the type that you have to crimp together and hope that it holds, which drive me crazy. It's a plug. You plug it in, and then you screw over the top of that nice and tight. So it's very secure and simple. However, I added a silicone tape wrap around the entire connection just to be even more sure that nothing was going to affect it. And in some of the reviews of the lights, I also heard that people had issues with water getting in the lights, which I don't see how, because you cannot open them from what I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just to be sure, I added a bead of silicone around the lens edge, you know, just to make sure they're completely watertight. Again, these are also controlled by the Govee app, and you can make them change color throughout the year. Right now, I have them red and green alternating, but I've also added these lights to my home kit through that Hoobs hub that I reviewed earlier.
Right, yeah.
Right, so it's a part of the home kit now. But the Net lights are actually Matter compatible, so they work with HomeKit right out of the box. Oh, nice. However, the scene, well, like the scene control, the, mm-hmm. the colors, all of that is you can only do in the Govee app. All right, so that's similar to Hue, right? With the Hue lights,
it is,
you can
yeah.
turn them on and off in HomeKit, but to change a color and stuff, you really got to go to the Hue app to fine-tune it. If you're looking for some smart outdoor lighting, check out Govee. I'll put up a little link in the show notes for these. You can get them from Govee or Amazon. Amazon has them as well. The Net lights, I think I got them on sale. They were $99, and the spotlights were $109 for four of them. So not too bad, but I've paid more. I've paid less, but hopefully, but these are pretty smart. Again, I've only had them for like a week or two, but we'll see how they last over time.
Well, that sounds great. You need to take some video of your house and send it to me in a text message. I would love to see it.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. It's raining here right now, but I'll get to it here in a day.
Well, that's great. So when it does the scenes, it sounds like it'll do different colors. Like if the bell is swinging, will the bell change different colors, or you can program it to do what you want it to do?
Oh, it's multicolored. There's one is Santa on a sled with the reindeer going across, and it's snowing. Mm-hmm. You see the white coming down, the lights change, you know. It's completely full color.
How big is the footprint? I mean, are these 2 feet wide, 2 feet? 3 feet,
like
4 feet?
4 feet high, 4 feet high by 9 feet wide is the entire net. Like I said, it's almost like watching a very low resolution screen. You kind of have to squint a little bit. You don't see a lot of detail because there is a gap between all the lights. I'm hoping in the future they make that gap smaller and put more lights in it. It'll be a higher resolution.
So it's on your house. It's on your house.
It's on the gate. We have a gate in front of our driveway.
Okay.
I just string it across there. Yeah.
Got it.
But most people put these, if you have room, they put them on bushes, right? You got a big hedge or something, you can just put that there. You could just put up a couple of stakes and do it across that on your sidewalk or wherever. I mean,
okay, you could put it
between two trees. It doesn't matter where. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a screen playing these images. It's just pretty cool what they can do these days.
Yeah, it is. I know that I was just commenting this today. That few years ago, the projection on your house, like snowflakes moving around or stuff, that was hot for a year or two. And I don't see that a lot anymore because it is. It's just kind of like it just throws an image on your house. This is much more customizable, smart, colorful, and flexible. So it has a lot more going for it than just a projection on your house.
Right. And that's why I like, you can make it as low key and just color all the way to complete animation. And looking through it, you could use it all year round if you mounted it in a really nice place, you know, because it's got every holiday in there. So I could put this up in October and put up Halloween, and then they have a Thanksgiving one, and then you got the Christmas one, and then they have a New Year's one. So you could have it up from October through the first of the year, really.
Wow. That's great. They need a football one, a baseball one, a basketball one, so you can do sports seasons.
Okay. You joke about that, but the spotlights have teams' colors.
There you go. Now,
preset.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, you can get into the spirit that way.
Well, that's great. That sounds really nice.
Yeah. Things have come a long way. I love it because in the past, it was a challenge to get – I had to use Because now the new LEDs, they use so much less power, but the other ones use so much juice. Especially got those big spotlights on cutouts or something in the yard.
Right.
I'd have to split the load or I kept flipping a breaker, right? I had to put half the yard on this outlet and another half on this one, you know. And now it's, no big deal. It can handle it. And then it was always a challenge to get all the lights to come on at the same time because you had different timers on them.
Right.
And they were the old fashioned timers where you just, you know, take out a little pin and put it at the time you want.
Never synchronized. Never.
Never. Never. Yeah. So now that you have smart plugs, which I have for each side of the house, it's instant. You know, you walk out there at 5:30, lights are on. You know, and then whatever time I set them to go off, they all go off at once. So.
Well, that sounds great. And it sounds like your wife is into it too, because I did some work on our smart home a couple of years ago with just the lights I have. And I made them turn green and red at Christmas. And they didn't really twinkle because they weren't designed for that. But I had some automations that changed them. And I was really proud of myself. And I came home one, you know, I left the house for about an hour and a half, came back, and my wife changed them all back to white. She goes, I didn't like that. I'm like, it took me hours to do that.
Well, you didn't get permission first. That's the problem.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
when I took my wife out to show her the animated stuff, she thought it was cool. Coolest thing she's
seen. That's neat. That's neat.
Yeah, yeah. So there may be more of those in the future. Who knows? Mm-hmm. It may add some more to it. Now, I used to just go absolutely nuts. Well, now there's a neighbor in our house, in our street, sorry, that has gone like I used to do, but with the blow up stuff in the yard.
Oh, that's I don't like those.
I'm talking 12-foot snowmen or taller, a giant skeleton that they had over the Halloween. Mm-hmm. They do the same thing for Halloween. They completely cover their front yard with every possible thing you can think of that blows up for the holidays. But no light, no real lights on the house at all. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of opposite that way.
Yeah. I like more the lights and the blow ups. And just down the street from us is probably the biggest neighborhood display in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's massive. Mm. And my road gets backed up. I mean, you have to be careful at night because you might get stuck in the traffic. But there's one house that probably has, I'm not pulling your leg, 200 to 300, well, maybe 200, 250 things on their lawn.
Yes. Yes. No, you're right.
But they just added those 12 to 14 or 15 foot blow up things. And I don't like them at all. It kind of takes away from the complexity of the lights and the things in the yard, which takes time versus just plugging in something and it blows up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's to me, it's a matter of how to do it tastefully. It's not just covering every square inch of your yard with something. If there's a hole, you're going to fill it with something that blows, you know, it all needs to be done nicely. Anyway, there's a neighborhood near us. There's a street called Candy Cane Lane. That's what they nickname it for this time of year, where the homeowners are required to put up lights and have them on. And it's a contest. And we usually go every Christmas Eve. We'll drive over there and it's the whole street is just packed with people, but you still drive through fine, but you get to look at both sides of the street. Every single house is completely covered with. So that's where you can see the latest and greatest in lighting because they're in competition. So this year I'm going to really look and see if I see anything like these Govee lights. I'm sure I will. Because Govee's not the only one that manufactures them now. You can get a bunch of them on Amazon and stuff. So it should be interesting this year.
It will. Well, if you set the trend, next year you'll see them all, right? Because everyone's like, oh, look at that guy. What has he got? You know, and then they investigate him. So.
All right. Well, that's enough. That's a whole nother podcast, isn't it? how to light your house for the holidays. All right. Well, that is, let's see. I'm sorry. Is there anything else?
No. That was good.
Okay. So nothing else before we close our rings for this episode. All right. That is all the time we have. Thank you, Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce the show. So check it out again at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.